And if you'll stand with me, Ephesians chapter number 6. If you weren't here last week, Pastor started our summer Bible series over the armor of God and really just did a phenomenal job presenting just an introduction. And I've been looking forward to it and looking forward to the message tonight and what God has for us. So Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to read from verse number 10 down through just the first part of verse number 14, and we'll get into it tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So tonight our topic is going to be the belt of truth. So join with me in prayer one more time before we get into the message. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And God, I know that you have something very important for us to meditate on and to listen to tonight. So God, I pray that you'd help. And as I preach, that it would be clear and that you will use it tonight. And that, Lord, each one of us would respond according to how your Holy Spirit directs us. And God, we want our lives to be pleasing to you, so equip us tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. John Phillips said this about the book of Ephesians, really talking about several books in the New Testament, but really leading up to the book of Ephesians. He said, "Doctrine will thrill us in the book of Romans, and discipline will confront us in Corinthians. We will read of deliverance in Galatians, deception in Colossians, discord in Philippians, duty in Philemon, and discovery in Thessalonians. But in Ephesians, devotion is the theme." There Paul was saying, take another look at the beloved. Fall in love with him afresh. He is the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely one, fairer than the fair, the glorious bridegroom of our hearts. And I would add to that, that he is truly worthy of our devotion. So just as a soldier would be devoted to his country and even willing to lay down their lives for their country, so we ought to be even more so with our Lord. And nothing that he asks of us, nothing that he requires of us would be too much. We understand, if you know your Bible, that the book of Ephesians is known as one of the prison epistles. Paul has been imprisoned in Rome for preaching the gospel. And however, he used his time wisely. He wrote letters to confront false doctrine, to edify the church, to encourage believers. And it's estimated that Paul spent about 5 years imprisoned three different times in Scripture. And there may be more than that. That's just the ones that are recorded here, but 5 years in prison. The first time was at Philippi, and you might remember Paul and Silas singing in the middle of the night, and then an earthquake comes, and the jail cell begins to break up, and the bars come open, and then the Philippian jailer is about to kill himself, and he says, wait, don't do that. We're all here, and that man gets saved, and his household gets saved as well. And we praise the Lord for stories like that. That's an exciting time. He did not waste his time in prison, that's for sure. And the second time was in Caesarea, where Paul used his Roman citizenship to escape the persecution of the Jews. And then as he appealed to Caesar, he was able to preach the gospel to many of the high-ranking leaders. The third time would be in Rome, where he would take the time to write many of the prison epistles, including Ephesians. You can imagine now that Paul has spent years, really, being guarded by Roman soldiers. Every day, the main people that he sees are soldiers and guards. Obviously, Paul wasn't angry at these guards. In fact, we see his love and his concern back at Philippi with Silas. We understand that Paul cared for the souls of men. He didn't care whether they were a soldier. He didn't care whether they were a tax collector. He didn't care who they were. He was going to care for their soul. Amen. And as he watched these soldiers day after day, he sees them. And I'm sure he couldn't help but correlate the life of a soldier with the life of a Christian. As he's watching these men do their job and do their tasks day after day, one would be fighting a physical enemy. These soldiers, these guards, they had this armor on that was supposed to protect them physically. But as Paul had time to think, for sure, as he's in custody and as he's in prison, he couldn't help but think of our spiritual enemy that we have. So as Paul begins describing the soldier's armor, imagine as he's looking through the cell door, he's looking at this armor on this soldier nearby, and the first piece of armor that he mentions is the belt. I don't know about you, but that's not the first thing that comes to my mind when I look at a soldier. I'm thinking like the sword, you know, the sword. That's important. That's the good stuff right there. But really, he points out this seemingly insignificant piece of armor. You know, we would think the sword, the shield, the helmet, those things really matter and those things really make up the armor. But he ended up pointing out something that's seemingly insignificant to us, but there's a reason that he pointed it out. And we're going to get into that. Why would he pick the belt first? What importance does the belt have? We're going to get into that in a moment, but I want to refresh your minds about last week and what Pastor gave us to really contemplate. And what he really pointed out at the beginning of the message is that we have an enemy. We have an enemy that is after us. He's after us. But he is not all-powerful. And we can overcome him, but there's some things that we're going to have to understand in order to win this battle. And the first thing that he mentioned was the source of our strength, that it comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from our abilities and how skilled we are at this or how devoted we are, but it comes from God. The source of our strength has to be him. It can't be us relying on our own strength. And then why we are fighting? Because if we don't fight, we will fall. Because the enemy is there. And who is the enemy? The devil, of course. And then how we can win the battle, and it's putting on the whole armor of God. You realize that when it says the whole armor of God, it didn't just say it once, but it said it twice in this passage. You know, if God says it once, he means it. If he says it twice, you better take it to the bank. You better realize you need every single piece of this armor. Don't forget the belt, because it's an important part of the armor, and it's here for a reason. So tonight, we're talking about the belt of truth. A belt really prepares you for action. If you're going to be a soldier, especially during this time, you need to be able to move quickly, amen? You need to be able to get around swiftly. If you want to dodge, if you want to lunge, if you want to do anything, you need to be able to move around quickly. And the belt during those days would bring together all the loose clothing so that they could run, so that they could jump, so that they could move in full range of motion. You see, if a soldier didn't take time to put on the belt, then he very well could have been tripped up. He could have been distracted fighting his clothes and fighting the things that are all around him. He could have been distracted by those things while somebody is coming after him. He also could have been hung up on something as he's passing by, maybe a chariot or maybe some other weapon or a spear. It catches him and he gets hung up on it. Maybe he gets dragged down to the ground. You can see how getting those things out of the way is very important if you're a soldier. You don't want those things hanging out there for them to trip you up or distract you or hang you up so that you can be dragged down. You see, the belt goes around all sides. It surrounds the soldier, and often it would be made of leather. But the belt that Paul is talking about would not be made out of leather. It would be made out of truth. Truth is what we're going to talk about tonight. Truth is a broad subject. Amen? It's a broad subject. So first of all, we need to see what truth is. What truth is. We're going to look at several scriptures. I don't anticipate that you're going to look them all up, but you can look them up later if you'd like. The first one is John 14:6. It says, Jesus is speaking here, and he tells us very quickly, you're going to recognize the verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what is truth? Well, Jesus tells us right here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Obviously, Pastor said last week, we must go to the source of strength. We need to come to Jesus. We need to come to Jesus because Jesus is the one place that we can come to and realize that He is truth. He is the author of truth. He is the one that gives that truth. Jesus is truth. We must have a relationship with Him for salvation, but also realize that all truth comes from Him. He is God. And maybe you're just not sure what to believe or who you can trust in this life and in this world. You can believe the one that gave His life for you. You can trust Him. There's no place else that you need to go to wonder, I wonder if they can take care of me. I wonder if they can take care of me. No, come to Jesus. He is the one that can truly take care of you. He is the one that died for you. You can devote yourself to the Savior, and you will never be misled, and you will never be lied to by Jesus. God Himself will never lie to you. He will never promise you something that He can't fulfill. Jesus is truth. Don't accept that the lie that Jesus is not God. Our world is full of people that deny Jesus, but the Bible warns us in the book of 1 John 4:13, it says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." It says, listen, if somebody comes to you and says, Jesus really, He was here, but everything in this book, everything that you've read is not true. He was just a man like everyone else. You need to stop them right there in their tracks and say, no, Jesus is God. Jesus is truth. You may be trying to give me some other truth. You may be trying to formulate something that man has put together to change my mind on this, but Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. His word has told us, and we have evidence of His life and who He is, and we know that He came and He died and He rose again, and He did that for you and He did it for me. Don't let anybody put down the name of Jesus. Don't let anybody come to you and say He's not real, where you're going to accept it and you're going to start believing it and you're going to start questioning Him. Don't do it. Jesus is truth. If you want to know where to start when it comes to truth, start with Jesus. Jesus is truth. Maybe you've become cold in your faith. Get back to meditating on what Jesus did for you. You ever just stop to think? Sometimes life gets so busy, it gets so complicated, and it gets going in all kinds of different directions. And some people it's work, and some people it's kids, and some people it's health issues and family issues, and sometimes it's finances and all kinds of things. You get distracted. He says it's time to take that belt and just remember everything that Jesus has done for you. Gather it together. The truth is that Jesus cared for you enough, that God cared for you enough to come and to die on a cross, to be brutally beaten so that you could have eternal life. Maybe you're here and you don't even know Jesus as your Savior. He can save you. He can give you a home in heaven. Why don't you devote yourself to Him? Jesus is truth. And next, we look at some other verses and really what truth is. We obviously see that Jesus is truth, but John 16:13 says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." I would say this with absolute confidence that these days, more than ever before, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth. We are dealing with things these days that the world has never seen. The world has never seen, that we've never experienced. And I'm not talking about just all the division. There's always been division in the world, but the battle for truth, the battle for truth every day. It's in your pocket right now. There's a battle going on. You've got emails sitting in your inbox that are lying to you. They're telling you, if you click this, we're going to give you a $50 gift card to whatever place. They're lying to you. Don't click on that, okay? Lies all over the world. And I know that's just a tiny thing, but there's a battle going on. Every time you flip the TV on, you walk down the street and maybe somebody's holding up a sign. Whatever the case is, it's all around us. The lies of this world. We need more than ever before the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. We need Him. There's a few terms that I've heard of in recent years to really show you how just how far our nation, our world has gotten from the truth. And the first term that you will hear, and you'll maybe in the last, it's probably the last decade or so, you'll hear this term called alternative facts. Maybe you've heard that somewhere. Alternative facts. Well, we have alternative facts. There's no such thing, amen? Facts are facts, right? Alternative facts are not really facts. There's been a numerous occasions where politicians, special interest groups, or media and social media figures, objective truth is no longer relevant to them. They believe that they can have their own truth, that they can make their own truth. So our world is full of lies. It's not truth, it's lies. And they are calling these alternative facts because saying, well, this is a lie. Brother Gerald, I'm going to tell you this, but it's a lie. It's easier if I say, Brother Gerald, I'm going to tell you this, it's an alternative fact. It sounds nicer, right? But it's still a lie, right? Because a fact is fact and truth is truth. Let's just call it what it is. The second term that you won't necessarily hear as much, but it really it's description of what's happening in our world, is called post-truth. Post-truth. And you can look this stuff up yourself. You're going to see it. It's going to be all over the place. Within the last decade or so, post-truth has become a common term. And people really, maybe even some historians looking back at this period of time, are going to call this time that we live in post-truth. It refers to a concept that gained prominence in recent years and describes a situation where objective facts and truth hold less influence in shaping public opinion and decision-making compared to emotional pleas, emotional appeals, personal beliefs, and subjective perspectives. In a post-truth environment, truth becomes subordinate to individual feelings, biases, and narratives. In a post-truth society, misinformation, propaganda, and disinformation can spread rapidly, often through social media platforms, and can have a significant impact on public discourse and perception of reality. Facts and evidence may be disregarded or manipulated in favor of appealing to emotions and reinforcing existing beliefs or ideologies. This can lead to a blurring of the lines between truth and falsehood, making it challenging for individuals to discern accurate information and well-informed decisions. Let me summarize that just a little bit. Post-truth means that all of these organizations, all of these people are saying what they want to say and calling it truth in order to appeal to you and to the biases that they have and the narratives that they want to feed. And if you can't see that, then open your eyes. It's all over the world right now. It's everywhere. You can't trust one thing that comes across anymore. You have no idea if it's true or not, because there's so many lies, and the lies have just infected our society so much. You know, when I was a kid, and I lied to my parents. I lied to my parents. I know it's shocking to some of you, but I did that occasionally. You know what I found is I had to lie again to cover up the lie that I told before. And then I had to lie again to make sure that was okay. And you know what happened eventually? The whole thing came apart. The wheels came off, and it came to a crashing halt and usually involved me getting in trouble. The difference is, it's our whole society right now. If we build our society on lies, the wheels are going to come off eventually. because we can't build a world in this kind of environment. And we're seeing some of the wheels falling off right now. Why is it so important that truth be girded on to the Christian? Because we live in a world where the wheels are falling off. And we need to be people that are different in this world. We need the Holy Spirit of God to guide us through this world, to navigate the truth and the error that's in this world. You may even have somebody, a friend, that's trying to get you to go against the Word of God and what you know is true and what you've been taught is true. It happens all the time. Why don't you get into the Word of God and to know the truth and be able to confront them on the false doctrine and bring them along? And when you get into the world and you spot error and you spot falsehood, you're able to call it out. You're able to teach your children and your grandchildren what is right. Truth. We can have the Holy Spirit guide us into the truth. How are we going to navigate a world that is filled with so many lies? It is likely that this week your email has been filled with lies. Your social media has been filled with lies. Your television and internet has been filled with lies. And each one will justify that they do this because it helps their agenda or some personal gratification that they have. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to guide us. We need His influence in our lives. And we need a sensitivity to Him because He is going to guide us into all truth. We need Jesus. Jesus is truth. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to guide us through this world and guide us through the Scriptures and be able to show us this is truth. Obviously, the Scripture is truth. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. And I'm not going to dive into that one really deep because we're going to get into that in the future message. But we need to understand that His word is truth. I'm going to move on. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, and this is really moving on to a different topic, so I want you to really, really think about this for a second. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. So God has placed a conscience or an inner witness in every person. That God has given us that to every man. Okay, how does God give us truth? Well, Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. We know the Word of God is truth. But also, there's this truth that's written in our hearts. From the very beginning, God gave you a witness inside of you. There's none of us that are going to stand before God someday with an excuse for Him. Because God, in His loving kindness, when He created you and we sinned against Him and this world was pushed over the cliff into sin, He wrote truth in your heart. He gave you a conscience. He gave you that moral compass to be able to spot some things in life. He's given you the Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, but He's wrote it in your heart. You see how this belt just keeps surrounding us? He is surrounding us with truth. He's putting it on all sides. He's putting it inside of us. It's everywhere. He's given us this conscience, this inner witness. He has placed that consciousness, that moral consciousness that He's placed inside of us. The Bible teaches us that it can be rejected, that it can be seared with a hot iron, just like you would think seared with a hot iron gives the idea of being branded. When I was looking up this term, it gives the idea of being branded. You know, God has placed this message on your heart, this truth in your heart, but we can reject it and reject it and reject it, and we reject it long enough, the devil's coming along with his brand. And it's going to be seared with a hot iron. He's going to say, that one's mine. That one's mine. They rejected the truth of God and accepted a lie. You know what? You're no match for the devil. The pastor said that last week. We are no match for the devil. If he could deceive a third of the angels in heaven to follow him from heaven with God, how do we think that we're any different? We need Jesus. We need salvation. He's not going to take us from God. We can't lose our salvation. But certainly there are many out there. They're being deceived. They're rejecting the moral truth. If you can't look around our society and see that the moral compass of this nation is falling apart, they've created and invented their own truth. They're calling your goodness and you speaking the truth and saying, you know, marriage should be between one man and one woman, and that's just truth. There's two genders. There's a male and there's a female, and these common truths that we know that you can go back to the very creation of the world, but you can also just look around and you can realize, hey, this is truth. It's all falling apart right now. They're picking out truth that supports their own agenda. You know what? 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong location here. No, that's correct. Speak it expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. As we just read that, I want you to think about, don't ever listen to those that are telling you to reject the truth of God. When you go down that way, you're going to find out that he is a seducing spirit. You're going to get into that, and man, it just looks so good, and I'm going to follow after this, and maybe your lifestyle has merged with the devil's tricks and the devil's deception, and this is going to be truth for me. You're going to find out one day. It breaks my heart to think about so many that are so passionate about the lies that have been fed to them over and over and over again. And the whole time, Jesus is saying, I gave you Jesus. I gave the Holy Spirit to the earth to be able to draw you unto the truth and to show you the truth. I gave you the word. I've placed a conscience inside of you. And you're going to follow after him? You're going to follow after the deceptions and lies of the devil? Sent my son to die on the cross, to bleed, to be brutally beaten for you. And it breaks my heart that there's so many that are going to stand before that throne in heaven, and they're going to be cast out for all of eternity. We can't forget. Truth matters. Truth matters. You've got coworkers. And man, they just keep coming at you with new stuff that pops up on their news feed. And hey, have you seen this? And hey, they're coming at you with different thoughts of the Bible and things that maybe they've seen on television, they've seen on the internet, or maybe a professor has said. And they just keep coming at you and keep coming at you. We need to be Christians that get into the truth of God's word and are able to contend for the faith. To be able to present truth, make truth a part of who you are, wrap that belt around you, cinch it up, and make sure that you're ready to go into battle for the Lord. It's important. It's important. We can't go about our day. Listen, we cannot go about our days just going to work to get a paycheck. We can't do it. There's more to life. You can't go to that job day after day, week after week, year after year, and not realize that, hey, there's more to this. I've got a coworker. I've got friends, and they need the Lord. They need the truth. It's written in our hearts. What about creation? I'm going to go quickly here. Creation. Job 12, 7 through 10 says, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these things, or all these, that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? You know what Job is saying there? He created everything. You can go, what does he say? You can go to the earth, and it's going to teach thee. The fish of the sea, and they'll declare unto thee. He goes through all of these things, the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Just look around you. Acts 14, 17, nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and the fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Okay, we've got Jesus Christ, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the Word of God, we've got the truth that's written in our hearts. And we can just look at this earth. We can just look around us and we can see his truth all around us. The heavens declare the glory of God. All you got to do is look at the stars. Look at the vastness. See the timing. See God's intricate hands all over creation. And the truth is there, that he created this world, that Jesus came and he died for you and for me, and he's coming back. And we need to be living for him. It's a simple truth. It's complex truth, but it's a simple truth. But you know what? It's important for each and every one of us to take it and not only know that, hey, this is truth, because what good is the piece of armor if it's sitting over on the table, the bed, on the floor? It doesn't mean anything until you take it and you apply it to your life. We need to get the truth in us. And I'm done, but this is what I want to leave you with. You need to take the belt of truth that God has given you all around you, and you need to fall in love with Jesus. You need to fall in love with him and all that he's done for you. You need to give your life to him, and you need to be guided by the Holy Spirit, and you need to be in his word. You need to surround yourself with the truth of God's word. You need to take up that belt, and you need to be ready for action, because we are in a battle. We are in a war, and the devil is coming at you with everything that you have. And maybe you're here and you're here and you're saying, you know what? The devil just keeps tripping me up. I just keep tripping up and tripping up and tripping up. Maybe you need to take the truth and apply it a little bit more. Maybe you're missing something in the armor. You've got the shield and you got the sword, but you're missing something. You're missing that truth that you need to apply to your life, and you need to cinch it up. You see, the more and more that I get into God's word, the more that I realize I need God's truth more and more. His truth is endless. It's vast. And I promise you, if you'll get in his word, you'll seek him out, you'll fall in love with Jesus, and you'll be thankful for him, and you'll be in God's house when it's time to be in God's house, he'll change your life. He'll make you a soldier. He'll make you to be able to contend for the faith. So what is it tonight? Are you weak? Is your armor seeming to get pierced over and over, and you're feeling it? It's time to start by getting a call to action from the Lord, getting that belt cinched up, falling in love with Jesus and getting in his word and following the Holy Spirit and realizing that God has given you everything that you need to fight the good fight of faith. So why not tonight? Why don't you take the time to maybe just bow there in your seat or here at these altars and say, God, I want to commit to you that throughout this series, each and every one of these pieces of armor, I am going to examine and evaluate my own life. And I'm going to see where I'm failing. And I promise, Lord, I'm going to get the whole armor of God put together in my life, because I want victory. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your love.